And now, you will...
Good afternoon, you are tuned into a Juno Afternoon here for Thursday, the 24th of March, the year 2016. Jeff Brown, your host for today. Today we'll talk with Katie Bosler about U.S. activities. Andy Klein will be here to highlight the new booth from Alaska Brewing Company. And Nancy Nutrini will be here with Arts Up. That's today on a Juno Afternoon. Well, the forecast for tonight, increasing clouds with low temperatures around 33 degrees. Forecast for Friday night, rain, low temperatures around 37 degrees. Saturday, through the weekend, looks like rain is likely.
This is National Native News. I'm Tara Gatewood, in for Antonia Gonzalez. There are more troubles for a remote First Nations community in northern Ontario. More than a dozen children are in the process of being removed from the reserve and taken to an urban center in the south for testing after several were found covered with sores and rashes. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, some Native leaders blame the water supply, while others say the issues go much deeper.
Kashishawan is no stranger to crises. It's faced flooding, housing issues, and problems with its drinking water. Now the Ontario First Nation faces a health crisis affecting its children. Pictures of the children have been circulated on social media, pictures that show some of them with unusual rashes and, in extreme cases, painful sores on their bodies. The member of the Canadian Parliament for the region says there's a systemic crisis facing northern Native communities. So far, at least 3 children have been flown out for treatment. Another 13 are expected to be removed for further examination. Local leaders fear the water supply. Alvin Fiddler is the Grand Chief of the Anishinaabe Nation.
Community members are to the point now where they don't trust the water coming from their taps to even bathe or do their laundry.
Canada's health minister says the skin condition the children are suffering from is not water-related. She says the water in Kashishawan was tested as recently as a couple of weeks ago and met all appropriate standards for drinking water. She says a possibility is some kind of skin infection, adding that she could not be specific. But Fiddler and other Native leaders are looking for more than just short-term solutions. Fiddler says the government needs to tackle broader systemic issues facing reserves across the country, such as the lack of clean drinking water, proper housing, and determining just why health problems are plaguing reserves. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
Some tribes at the Reservation Economic Summit in Las Vegas, Nevada this week are discussing forest carbon offset programs as an economic development tool. Supporters say the exchange of carbon credits helps protect the environment while creating revenue. Dylan Jenkins is with Finite Carbon. The company works as a project developer. Clients include the Colville and Passamaquoddy tribes. Forest offsets are a fairly new economic development idea for tribes that followed California's launch of the Cap and Trade program. Jenkins says that the model can be developed elsewhere.
It's tough to manage forest lands. It's complex. There's a lot of infrastructure. There's roads. There's, you know, hiring the contractors. There's the GIS and the inventory and all of that. You know, it takes, you know, it's expensive to manage forest lands sustainably. To be able to generate a new form of revenue is a great thing.
Participating tribes make commitment to long-term sustainability and essentially get paid to protect their forests. Jenkins says tribes are using the revenue for other investments. He points to the Passamaquoddy, which plan to put money into the tribe's maple syrup venture. Jenkins says forest carbon offsets are just one of the large efforts to address global climate change. But the idea is not universally accepted. Dallas Goldtooth from the Indigenous Environmental Network says the practice may benefit tribes economically, but it promotes a business-as-usual approach to larger environmental problems.
As Native people, we really have to take a true assessment of what's our part to play to address climate change.
Speaking on Native America Calling, Goldtooth said climate change is already creating economic problems for some coastal Alaskan tribes that face relocation because of rising sea levels. He says tribes are better off to sign on to the long-term goal of fighting the escalation of carbon emissions from large-scale polluters. For National Native News, I'm Tara Gatewood.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. For 45 years, NARF has stood firm for justice in Indian country on critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior. Stand firm with NARF. Learn more at NARF.org and join the fight for Native rights. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
It's 6 minutes past the hour, and you're tuned into it June afternoon. Next, our first guest for the show is Katie Bosler from the University of Alaska Southeast.
Good afternoon, Jeff. How are you?
Just peachy.
It's a peachy day, isn't it? It is absolutely gorgeous. And this is our time of year at UAS where we just have so much going on. We just our heads are spinning, but it's all good. And so I just want to let people know first that as of this week, Jeff, you can look up any courses or classes or programs you might want to enroll in for the fall 2016 semester. So the class schedule web search is available. You just go to our website, uas.alaska.edu/schedule, or we have a really cool kind of search thing within the UAS website. Put in schedule, you'll find it. And I just wanted to remind people that UAS is a great place to go to school. We have a gorgeous setting. We have some stellar programs and faculty. And, this time of year, some students may be reconsidering where they thought they'd want to go to college or maybe not getting into where they thought they wanted to go. And UAS is a fantastic option. And we have, I would say, probably the most beautiful residence hall for freshmen in the country with the greatest view looking over Auk Lake. So there's that. And then also, did you know, fun fact, we are the second least expensive public university in the country. We're right up there in the top cheapest, if you want to call it. That's kind of a cheap word, least expensive. And I think you're a dad of a UAS student, as a matter of fact, our student body president, Callie.
That's right. Very proud of her.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you were just telling me something that's kind of cool as a dad. Besides all the cool stuff about Callie.
Well, she works a couple of jobs, and she's able to pay her education.
Yes.
That
yeah. And it sounds like she's going to graduate with any debt.
So I'm hoping so.
looking like debt-free. And that's what I'm getting at, is that, you know, in these days when we're all kind of watching our budgets, especially with our state budget situation, UAS is a great value. So, again, the course schedule is up for fall. Also, we're still, of course, taking registrations and enrollments for the summer schedules. There are some summer courses being offered. We are always on campus and online, lots of classes on both on campus, or if you want to take that from your living room or your coffee shop, whatever, there's so much available to you through the University of Alaska Southeast.
And it's got a bunch of activities.
Oh, you're not kidding. Yeah. And clubs, et cetera. So speaking of activities, let's get to that, because that's what is the crux of my message today. So starting with tomorrow is a busy day at UAS. Jeff, starting at 9 o'clock and going on till 2 o'clock is an annual event that Ernestine Hayes, our English faculty, started. And award-winning author, among other things, a storyteller. She's holding an event. She's organized an event called The Written Art of Place. It'll be at the Glacier View Room tomorrow on campus. And it's got a really good schedule from 9 to 11:30 a.m. Speakers include our faculty, Dan Monteith, Ishmael Hope, Will Geiger, and Paul Marks. And Will Geiger, of course, is one of our outstanding graduates from 2014. He is also now in a linguistics program specializing in Tlingit through Alaska Pacific University. And then Ishmael Hope, we all know, a student there as well, and a great writer and poet. And then Dan Montes is one of our faculty in anthropology. And then Paul Marks, of course, is one of our distinguished elders of the community. Now, there will be a special Nora Dauenhauer, speaking of distinctive elders in our community, presentation at 11:30. And then there's going to be an all-day a visual presentation on the Juneau Indian Village, where Ernestine actually grew up, and some of her book, Blonde Indian, is based. Also, cookbooks and recipes will be on display. And that leads up to, I'm sure, what will be a delicious potluck from 1 to 2. So that's in the Glacier View Room, the Written Art of Place, tomorrow. And this is a little bit of a departure from Art of Place events that Ernestine's organized in recent years, where there was maybe a series of events, 4, 5, 6, on Fridays. This is just a one-shot deal, the Written Art of Place, tomorrow, 9 to 2. And then also tomorrow night, as part of our Sound in Motion series, is the Woosh Canadian Poetry Slam at 7 o'clock. This is the third annual time UAS has collaborated with Woosh Canadian and hosted a poetry slam. This is, you know, a monthly event around the community, so it's at UAS this month. If you want to compete, this is competing this time. Wooshke has changed, you've probably heard from them, this season, where instead of having the open mic the first half and then the competition the second half, it's going to be pretty much just competition. So if you want to compete, you bring three original poems. The theme is thawed, and it's definitely thawing out there. You sign up at 6:30. The slam starts at 7. And we're excited that one of our students will be co-emceeing the event with Connor Lendrum. I think Connor was here on Tuesday talking about this, and that student is Austin Tagaban. Austin Tagaban is also in student government with Cali, a very active student, and we're really thrilled that he and Connor will be sharing the duties of MC tomorrow for the Poetry Slam. And I also want to let you know that there's an award-winning slam poet who will be in town this weekend. His name is Jesse Parent. Now, he is going to be, I think, performing on Saturday night at the Hangar, and I believe he's coming in tomorrow, Jeff, to talk to you about that or to talk to someone here in June afternoon.
We're talking to Andy.
But he is penciled in to do about a 50-minute set in between rounds 1 and 2 of the Poetry Slam tomorrow. So that's a real bonus, having this visiting award-winning slam poet in town, going to be at UAS tomorrow night in between sets for the Woosh Canadian Poetry Slam. Again, sign up for that at 6:30 and it starts at 7. And folks, if you're interested, if you're serious about this, you want to show up to sign up at 6:30 because those signups can go fast. And then also tomorrow night at UAS, and this is kind of nice timing, if you want to just make a night of it at the University of Alaska Southeast, we're very excited to be bringing Lily Lemon to the UAS Rec Center. Now, Lily Lemon and her musical partner, Erica Wobbles, are an indie electro-pop duo. They're based in Monterey, California, and they use primarily synthesizers, live vocal looping, processing, and they sound really cool. And I think, Jeff, you might have some of their music, I know, in the vault. That I know I played one of their songs on my volunteer show last night on KRNN, Stormy Weather. So anyway, this is part of our Alaska Airlines student concert series. Alaska Airlines was generous enough, Jeff, to offer to support the travel of artists who would like to perform or the university would like to perform at UAS. So this event is open to the public and community members and, of course, students. So, again, this is 9 o'clock tomorrow night at the UAS Rec Center.
You know, I get a little bit of our music cue up here. Let's take a quick listen to some of this.
Okay, sounds good.
And we'll be back in just a minute.
Sounds great. right. So, hey, wasn't that awesome? It's a really fun sound.
Lily Lemon.
Yeah, Lily Lemon. Be performing tomorrow night at the UAS Rec Center at 9 o'clock. They're following the Poetry Slam that starts at 7 in the lecture hall. So a full night at UAS tomorrow. And then finally, I know on Tuesday you had a director, Jamie McLean, and a Rich Maniaka of Juno People for Peace and Justice in talking about this. But I just wanted to remind people that on Monday, the 28th of March, after the weekend at the lecture hall, we're very excited to be the forum for a Pulitzer Prize-winning play reading. The play is called Disgraced. It is by Ayad Akhtar. And, Jeff, this is a one-night reading by a cast of really Perseverance Theater all-stars and including our 2015 UAS commencement speaker, Andre Bunton. He graduated last year and just gave a great speech, great kid. And this script addresses race, religion, culture, identity, what it means to be Muslim in post-9/11 America. Very, very timely. Couldn't be more timely, as a matter of fact. I know Jamie's daughter, Tess, saw this play, was raving about it, and told her mom about it. And Jamie's quite moved by the script, and I think we will be too. So the thing also that's interesting about this play, from what I understand, is that it takes place in New York City, but the issues raised should also resonate with Alaskans because, as we know, we're all one world here, and we've got some serious stuff going on that we need to tackle and on many levels. And there will be, speaking of that, a post-show discussion that will be facilitated by Dr. Ray Pastorino. And the all-stars performing this will be Brandon Demery, Allison Holtkamp, Enrique Bravo, Tiffany Cooper, and, of course, Andre Bunton, and directed by Jamie McLean. This is free. And Andre is just come back from performing with our Alaskapella group at Carnegie Hall. They were invited to perform as part of kind of a mass a cappella, and I'm sure he's pretty excited about that as well. So lots going on at the University of Alaska Southeast.
All right, Katie Buzzard, thank you for coming by.
Thank you, Jeff, for having me, and enjoy the sunshine.
Here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 24th of March, 2016. It was on this day, 1955, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof by Tennessee Williams opened at the Marosco Theater in New York City, directed by Ilya Kazan, ran for 694 performances. It was Williams' favorite of all his plays, but he hated the film version of it with Elizabeth Taylor. Tennessee Williams, who always came to opening night, and directors didn't like that because Williams had a funny, high-pitched laugh, and he tended to laugh at lines that nobody else laughed at. So people in the audience were always turning around, trying to see where the noise was coming from, which bothered the actors, of course. It's the birthday of Fanny Crosby, the hymn writer, born in Southeast New York, 1820. She was blind. She wrote hymns, thousands of them, including Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, and To God Be the Glory, and Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, Oh, What a Foretaste of Glory Divine, Heir of Salvation, Purchase of God, Born of His Spirit, Washed in His Blood. And it's the birthday of the poet Lawrence Ferlin Getty, born in Yonkers, New York, 1919. His father, an Italian immigrant, died before the boy was born. His mother was committed to an asylum while he was still an infant, whereupon a French aunt took him to France. After a few years, returned to New York, she got a job with a wealthy family. Then she took off, but the family liked the boy, took him in, sent him to the University of North Carolina. And then he joined the Navy during World War II, became the commander of a 110-foot ship. Ferlin Getty said, "Any smaller than us, you weren't a ship, you were a boat. But we could order anything a battleship could order. So we got an entire set of the modern library. We had all the classics stacked everywhere, all over the ship, including the John. We also got a lot of medicinal brandy the same way. After the war, he went to the Sorbonne and then settled in San Francisco in the North Beach neighborhood full of Italian immigrants, opened a bookstore there in 1953, City Lights Books, which made its name publishing Howl by Allen Ginsberg. Ferlinghetti did not publish his own book, however, A Coney Island of the Mind. New Directions did in 1958, and it sold over 1 million copies. Lawrence Ferlinghetti, who said, "I have a feeling I'm falling on rare occasions, but most of the time I have my feet on the ground. I can't help it if the ground itself is falling." Here's a poem for today by Robert Bly, "Like the New Moon, I Will Live My Life." When your privacy is beginning over, how beautiful the things are that you did not notice before. A few sweet clover plants along the road to Bellingham, culvert ends poking out of driveways, wooden corn cribs slowly falling, what no one loves, no one rushes towards or shouts about, what lives like the new moon and the wind blowing against the rumps of grazing cows, telephone wires stretched across water, a drowning sailor standing at the foot of his mother's bed, grandfathers and grandsons sitting together. A poem by Robert Bly, "Like the New Moon, I Will Live My Life," from "Like the New Moon, I Will Live My Life," published by White Pine Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can subscribe to the Poetry Magazine podcast and the Poetry Off the Shelf podcast in the iTunes Store or listen at poetryfoundation.org. And by Staples, offering printer ink and toner cartridges for home and business, with in-store print shops offering customized presentations, booklets, and manuals. In-store and online, Staples make more happen. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Come on down to the 42nd Alaska Folk Festival, April 4th to the 10th at Centennial Hall. It's a week-long party full of concerts, dancing, jamming, and workshops, all featuring your friends and neighbors. This year's guest artist is the Carper family from Austin, Texas, a four-piece band playing original and classic bluegrass, old-time, and country music. The seven-day festival of dances, performances, and workshops is free and open to all ages. More information at akfolkfest.org.
It's about 24 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned into Junior Afternoon. Our next guests in the studio are Sarah Asher and Eric Niewanner. Sarah is involved in an organization called Jews for Jesus. Thank you very much for being on the show today.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sarah, tell me about the organization, Jews for Jesus.
I would love to. Well, Jews for Jesus started out as a movement, we like to say, in 32 AD, give or take a year. Because all of Jesus's first followers were Jewish. And so really all of the first followers of his began the movement of Jews for Jesus. But the organization itself began about 40-some years ago in Southern California when a group of Jewish hippies met Jesus for the first time really became excited about the fact that he fulfilled the prophecies and the promises of the coming of the Messiah and began spreading and sharing that news with their friends and everyone that they could meet. And the rest is history. We're still around. And we have 26 offices worldwide, or branches, mostly in cities that have a significant Jewish population. So that's a little bit of an overview.
And you're here to talk about the Seder, which is involved in Passover, which is coming up next month.
Exactly. Yeah, so we're here in Holy Week now, the days leading up to Easter. And of course, we know from reading the New Testament that Jesus celebrated the Passover right before his crucifixion. Now, it might be a little bit confusing because this year, Passover on the calendar actually is next month. But we're celebrating it a little bit early just to prepare us for Easter and to kind of walk through the Holy Week similarly to the way Jesus did.
What is a Seder?
So Seder is actually a Hebrew word. It means order because the Passover service, it follows a very specific order of worship. And so, yeah, it's formatted around four cups that tell part of the story of Passover and some very symbolic foods that we eat that also tell part of the story. And some singing, of course, and lots of food. And so all of those things combined make up the Passover Seder.
Does it have a very strict order of activities that occur?
Absolutely. In fact, there's a whole book that prescribes the whole format.
What kind of food is there?
Oh, my. Well, traditionally, there's brisket for the meal. Some people are surprised to hear that lamb is not one of the foods that's on the Passover menu. And that's a tradition ever since the destruction of the temple in 70 AD that lamb is not served on Passover. So like I said, traditionally it's brisket or chicken. I heard here in Alaska we're going to be having some salmon for our Passover meal. So that sounds very appropriate to me. Roasted vegetables. There's a really yummy dish called tzimis with carrots and roasted dates or prunes. That's really good. That's all part of the Passover meal.
Is the Seder happen in one person's house, or is it like a community-wide thing?
It's definitely a family event. But when I say family, I mean it's definitely the family and the community. There's a greeting at Passover. Let all who are hungry come and eat. So it's tradition at Passover to be very hospitable and to welcome in people from the community into your home, especially strangers and outcasts of the community, because we remember, that first Passover, we were strangers in a land that was not our own. And so we specifically make an effort to, be hospitable to the community.
Also in the studio with us is Eric Niewanner. What's happening locally, Eric?
Well, tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to have our Seder supper, and Sarah will walk us through all the particular components of the Seder ritual and explain why they have certain food items on the table that give a lesson about what the Passover is about. And it's going to be at Chapel by the Lake at 6 o'clock, and we all look forward to it. We usually have this every 2 years at the church. I learn something new every time.
If people need more information about Jews for Jesus, you have a website.
Absolutely. I would love to invite your listeners to go to jewsforjesus.org. So jewsforjesus.org. There's an opportunity to sign up for our newsletter. There's all sorts of interesting articles online.
I've been talking to Sarah Asher and Eric Niewanner about the Jews for Jesus and the Passover and Seder celebrations, which are happening this weekend and next month. Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
I think you covered it.
Well, thank you for coming by.
Thank you.
Thank
Shalom.
If we had video in here, it'd be worth watching. We got our next guest coming in and dancing into the studio.
Don't all your guests coordinated dance
right.
come in? They step on
what
in,
happened?
Listen to the music. How can you listen to that music and not move?
Yeah.
Liz Adlers and Andy Klein here from the Alaska Brewing Company talking about a new brew you have.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff. How's it going? Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks.
Hey, so we've got a new brew, and as part of our new brew, we're going to have a really fun event coming up tomorrow night. So our new brew is Kicker. It's a session IPA, and in celebration of Kicker, of course named after the little engine on the back of a boat, we have a nautical-themed pub crawl coming up where we're asking captains and their crews to come show up starting tomorrow night at the Red Dog at 7, and then we're going to move to the Viking at 8. And then to the Imperial Saloon at 9, and then finally end up at the Alaskan Bar. And we're going to have music and games and prizes and,
so
and
fun.
All kinds of stuff. Plus, we'll be sampling Kicker the entire
free
time.
Free samples.
And Liz is our person that heads up our work out at the tasting room out at the brewery. So
that's
lots
correct.
Of people have been coming in and tasting Kicker, right?
Yeah, it's been a big hit. Everybody loves it. Everyone's a big fan of the lower alcohol content. That way you can have a couple and not have to worry about getting in trouble. So it's been a
trouble.
Win-win kind of beer to debut. I'm excited about it.
What makes this beer special?
So it's a session IPA, and that category means that you want flavor, but you don't. The session denotes lower alcohol. Most IPAs are a little bit higher alcohol content, so our challenge for our brewers was to make a beer that had a lower alcohol content, which means it's usually a lower gravity, and that means there's less kind of stuff in it. It means there's less malt and less sugars in it for the yeast to eat, so you end up with thinner beers. So you have a challenge of making a beer that has full flavor, full body, and at the same time has this lower alcohol. And the way they did it is that they kind of went crazy with hops. That's what they did. They had kind of, so they used two hops in the boil, but then they used five different hops in the dry hopping process and included these three great hops, Simcoe, Mosaic, and Citra. And those are all Yakima Valley hops. So there's all this hop flavor and aroma and a burst of like citrusy hop flavor.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of bitterness, but not a lot. And it's just, but it ends up just being really, really refreshing. So you pack a lot of flavor into a low-alcohol beer. That's the kind of special thing about it.
Right.
A thin beer. Who wants that beer anyway?
Yes, right. So I tell you, the only way really, though, Jeff, to determine what's really special about it is to taste it.
Right.
Would you like a little?
Well, what do you know?
Do you know? I have to have a bottle of it right here. Here it is.
Are you a magician, too? Wow. Where'd you pull that from?
So look for it with the it's got a red, you know, looks like a Lund boat on the front of the label. Here you go, Jeff. I'll walk it over to you.
Oh, Liz, look at that.
Talking.
Sure. That looks amazing.
You know what? Tell us about the games.
Oh, sure. I'm really excited about the pub crawl. I'll actually be hosting the Limbo contest, which is going to happen at the Red Dog Saloon. That's where the pub crawl kicks off at 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Thank you. And then we'll have a motorboat contest. That's up for interpretation.
Yeah,
starts at the Viking Lounge.
We don't quite know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Imperial Saloon's going to have the float coat contest. And then we're wrapping it all up at the Alaskan Bar at 10. That's going to have the best captain and crew. And then the contest and music is to be announced.
Yeah, well, actually, the music, we can now announce it. It's going to be DJ Taco Todd.
Oh, fantastic.
Alaskan Scorcher. Famous for their work on KXLL.
Always a good time.
But also, that'll be fun. And, you know, they make such a great mix of music between soul and rocksteady and stuff like
that.
It'll be really cool.
So tell me what I'm smelling.
You're smelling the big dominant thing you're smelling is the hops. So there's these five different hops in it, which includes Amarillo, which has a real kind of grapefruit. And then Simcoe and Mosaic, which gives a little bit more of that pine. And then Citra, which also has a lot of citrus, grapefruit, and kind of lighter citrusy kind of aromas and flavors like lemon. What about you think?
I'm getting the citrus.
The citrus, yeah.
Mm-hmm. My favorite is Simcoe. I'm a big fan of that one.
And Mosaic's a really interesting one. We have a beer out of the brewery right now called Smash Mosaic, and Smash denotes that single malt and single hop, so the only hop we used in it is a Mosaic hop. Delicious and complex and a lot of different varieties of flavors in just that one hop. So the hop varieties that are happening right now are really interesting and full of flavor, especially these ones that are coming out of the Yakima Valley in Washington State. So that's what we packed full that's what we packed this thing full of. So it doesn't add alcohol, but you get all this extra flavor. And it actually adds to the body as well, because there's hop oil in the hops, and that adds to some of the body of the beer as well.
What I love about it, it is still got the flavor of a fuller-bodied beer, but again, I don't have to worry about it having such a punch with the alcohol volume.
Yeah, it's nice. It makes for a nice, long evening, a session.
Perfect for, soaking up the sun on a day like today.
And then what I'm really excited about in this whole thing, Jeff, is that all of the stuff you'll see out and about that has Kicker on the beach, that's my boat in the background. There you go.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, that's my boat. Oh, yeah.
Was it your Kicker that it was named after?
Well, yeah, you could say that. Sure, I helped name the beer. I was thinking about that little Kicker on my boat.
I'm still waiting for you to make Jeff Brown Ale.
I know, Jeff Brown Ale. I know.
Ooh.
Mm.
That sounds like a hit.
So tell me again, where are the celebrations for this?
Yeah, so it starts at the Red Dog.
Yeah.
Can I step through it, Liz?
Sure, yeah. I'll be doing the Limbo Contest, Red Dog Saloon at 7, Viking Lounge at 8 with the Motorboat Contest, Imperial Saloon at 9 with the Float Coat Contest, and then we'll be wrapping it up at the Alaskan Bar with some Taco Todd.
Taco Todd and Best Captain and Crew. We've
got
really great prizes and fun stuff. So you'll get your chance to try Kicker. We'll also be pouring Kicker for free, little samples for free at each one of these stops. So, you know, free beer.
Yeah.
That always gets people out.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And Thursdays is your day at the brewery, isn't it?
Which day is our day at the brewery?
Is it just Thursday or is it open all day?
We're open all day. We're open 6 days a week right now until May.
Correct.
Until May, and then we open up 7 days a week. But we're open 6 days a week at the brewery. Start open at 11.
Yep.
Every day.
So you can come on out and see us and try your Kicker for free out there as well.
That's right.
All right. Anything you want to end?
I think that's about it. What do you think? We're gonna have a great time. We're gonna be walking around.
Yeah. Come on out. Come see us, folks.
Music, fun, games.
Right.
Liz.
You got nothing to lose.
Yeah. Liz will be there.
Yeah.
That's a party.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming down.
Thanks, Jeff.
This is Bird Note. We often think of spring as the nesting season for birds, but great horned owls nest in winter because young owls take a long time to grow up. This pair occupies a large stick nest in a tall cottonwood, a nest that red-tailed hawks built last year. The female great horned owl, which outweighs the male by a third, incubated her eggs for a full month, never leaving the nest. The male owl hunted for both. When the eggs hatched, the downy owlets were the size of newborn chickens. The male remained the sole provider for another 2 weeks until the young put on a second set of down feathers. Now, the young can be left alone while both adult great horned owls resume hunting at twilight. From elevated perches, they plunge with silent wings into prey below. They take mice, rabbits, and opossums, ducks and crows, even skunks and young raccoons. The young owls will remain with their parents for several months, and because the cycle started in winter, the young will have an abundance of prey when they are finally on their own. To see photos of great horned owls, come to birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
Support comes from Southeast Living Magazine, Southeast Alaska's home, real estate, and lifestyle magazine, working to reach potential home buyers and featuring articles and tips on home improvement, available at various locations in Southeast.
There's a special barn dance this Saturday, March 26, 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. at the UAS Student Rec Center up Back Loop Road, just up the hill from the Auk Bay Roundabout. The hot old-time band Rumblefish will play live music, while Tom Paul and Susie Kende will teach and call contra and square dances. As always, you don't need any experience or a partner. Best of all, it's free to students and the public. Sponsored by the University of Alaska Southeast with help from KTOO. Barn dance at the UAS Rec Center Saturday.
Thanks, Tom. Next in the studio is Nancy DeCherney, here to talk about activities in the arts world.
Boy, do we have a few things to do.
Well, that's okay, because we got a lot of time.
We do have a lot of time, okay. Well, it's gold medal still spring break. It's spring-like outside, so we're in good shape. We can do as many things as we want.
Okay, you can go.
All right, let's all do that. Let's see. We're going to get down here. There's a diesel engine simplified class at UAS Tech Center tonight at 6. Bluegrass Thursday is over at the Red Dog Saloon at 6:30. Tango dancing at Suite 907 at 7 p.m. And, of course, this week is one of your last weeks to see the Perseverance play in the next room or the Vibrator play, and I'm hearing really good things about it. It's quite funny, so don't miss that. Better get your tickets. There's karaoke at McGivney's at 9 and open mic with Terry Tippett at 9 at the Alaskan Bar tonight. By the way, the flags are at half staff, which I think probably people have noticed in memory of the folks in Brussels. There is a theater organ concert. I think it is J. Allen McKinnon on Friday at noon in the State Office Building atrium. The Shrine has the Stations of the Cross. You can go out and go through that at 2 p.m. on Friday.
Now, J. Allen McKinnon has done the organ playing for
100 years, maybe.
I was going to say 200.
And he looks so young. No, that is one of the nice things that he, Jay Allen, and T.J. Duffy do. They sort of alternate back and forth. And the Kimball organ is a really interesting historical piece in Juneau. So if you've never stopped in to have lunch there, do it. It's fun. And kids like to watch the things move all around and all that stuff. So that's fun. There is Intro to Bear Hunting class. Fish and Game is doing it at the Indoor Shooting Complex. It is at 6 p.m. on Friday.
I think that might be full.
It might be full? Well, too bad then. Don't go.
This is activities that the Fish and Game put on.
Oh, okay.
They develop very quickly.
So you got to pay attention. There is a Cuban salsa workshop and party at Suite 907 at 6 p.m. You can do that instead. And you were just talking about the Alaskan Kicker pub crawl that starts at the Red Dog Saloon on Friday night at 7. At 7 p.m. At 360 North, downstairs, we have the artist with Ernestine Hayes. She'll be probably talking about one of her books. There is, at 7 p.m. out at the UAS Lecture Hall, a Ushkanadei Poetry Slam. It's part of their sound and motion thing. And Lily Lemon will be at 9 p.m. out at the UAS Rec Center on Friday night. On Saturday, still gold medal, it is the 32nd annual Zach Gordon Youth Center Easter Egg Hunt out at Thunder Mountain High School. Starts at 10 and goes to 11.
I talked to Donna yesterday.
Okay.
And she was very emphatic. It starts at 10 o'clock. Moms and dads, don't get there at 10:02.
Because it's going to be over with. Do you remember the years that ravens came and ate all the eggs? That was a sad year.
I remember that very well.
Okay. Let's see. There's an open studio at the Canvas at 10 a.m. There's a Democratic Presidential Caucus at Centennial Hall at 10 a.m. There is another community egg hunt. So if you're one of the people that got there at 10:02, you can go at noon to the one at the UAS Morant Courtyard. So all is not lost. At 2 p.m., there is Museums of the World. This is one of the collaborations that Goldtown Nickelodeon is doing. This with the museum, Friends of the Museum. They're doing a documentary on the Vatican. So it's an interesting series that they have going on. That's at 2 o'clock on Saturday. At 7:30, there's a barn dance at UAS Rec Center. And at 8 p.m., Jesse Parent, live slam poetry. This is being brought to you by the Morally Impoverished Group, who have their improv festival coming up as well. But anyway, that's at 8 p.m. at the Hangar Ballroom. Sunday is Easter. There is a 4 p.m. Matinee of the Vibrator play. There's Music on the Fly, possibly, out at the International Airport. I believe that the Taku Gales are playing, but I might be wrong about that. On Monday at 4:30, the Storus, the Galloping Ghost of the Alaskan Coast, is at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. 5 p.m. Right downstairs here in the 360 North Studio Timeline, Palestine and Israel. I don't know who's presenting that. Is that the World Affairs Council?
I think it's Skip Scheel.
Okay.
Photographer.
Mm-hmm. There at 6 p.m., the Makerspace is having an open shop. This is a new thing in town. It's very exciting. It's out on Anka Street. If you want to get involved, they've got all kind of tools. You can buzzsaw some stuff up or whatever.
And they have a 3D printer.
And that's an exciting thing, actually. So if you've been needing to, you've got a project in mind, but you don't have the tools for it, you might want to go check out Makerspace and see what they've got. You have a second opportunity to see the Storis, the Galloping Ghost of the Alaskan Coast, 7 p.m. on Monday. At 7 p.m. at the Egan Lecture Hall, there is a reading of Disgraced. It is a one-night reading of that. 6 p.m. Tuesday, Lego League out at the library. 6 p.m. there is the Diesel Engines Simplified Class at U.S. Tech Center. The Marie Drake Planetarium is having Earth Day at 6:30. At 5 p.m. at the Jack, I just decided to do this. We are going to change up what the concerts in the park have historically been. I'm going to make them dances, and they're going to be over at the Slam Building on that beautiful plaza that they have. But what I need, we need to get together with people and just talk about how we're going to do it and what we want to do and all that sort of thing, come up with a clever name, talk about whether there'll be food trucks, all that sort of stuff. So if you're at all interested in the summer plans that we have for our Friday night events, come at 5 p.m. to the Jack, and let's talk it out, because we're going to do some new stuff.
And I heard yesterday that June 6th is the official date to open up the museum.
Yes, and it's just gorgeous. We got the opportunity to tour the plaza this morning, and it's just lovely. We could see in that, guys. There, it's just going to be beautiful. It's amazing. Anyway, enough about that. You can see the Museum of the World Vatican movie again on Tuesday night at 7. There's West Coast Swing Dancing, speaking of dancing, at Suite 907 at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Wednesday, there's English classes at the Mendenhall Public Library and Old Time Music Jam at the Alaskan Hotel. One of the things I want to warn everybody about is April 1st is Fine Arts Scholarship and Individual Artist Grant application deadline. So if you would like to get a scholarship, we have scholarships for kids age who are going to seventh grade through high school, and then again kids who are going on to high school or college up to age 25 who are full-time students. And then the individual artist grants are for projects or tools or whatever you need. So
what else is coming up in the Arts Council world?
We have a wine tasting coming up on April 5th. It's got some spectacular wines, over 50 different wines. Specialty Imports is bringing in the distributor people from the wineries. There are four different wineries coming, and they are going to be able to talk to you. And there'll be special pricing on the wines and an opportunity to try, like I said, 50 different wines. Traveler Duo will be providing live music. So it's a pleasant evening. Starts around 5 o'clock. I can't remember if it's 5 or 5:30. And then you can go on over to the Folk Fest and just have a wonderful evening, I would say. That's on the 5th. We have the architect selection process is starting up for the new arts complex. We will be doing that on April 10th here at the 360 North Studio, and the public is welcome to come to that. We would really like to have as many people as possible involved in helping us select the architects. It'll be a three-day process. There will be, as I said, the open to the public thing on Sunday from 2:30 to 5 downstairs in the 360 North thing. There will be a group of about 20 people from that group that will then go on to another layer of presentations. We have four architectural firms that are applying for this opportunity, and we really want to make sure that the building is a community center that serves all of the community. So it's really important. This will not be your only chance, but it certainly is a time to say, yes, I want to be involved, and I want to give you some feedback about this. And then once the architect is selected, then there will be a continued community process to help us refine what we're going to be building over there. And, of course, we need people to help us find the money, too. But the most important part is that the building is something that's going to serve most of the community. So I hope everyone will participate and take advantage of that. What else have we got going on?
Tote bags.
Tote bags? Is that what we need?
Sure, everybody needs a tote bag with a design on it done by a local artist.
Yes, as a matter of fact, we have that happening. The Foodland people have put that call out. So if you are a local artist, the call for art is, I think, on our website. So the Foodland and Super Bear, they now own both of those, will be making tote bags out using a local artist artwork. There's money involved. So not only should you be applying for your individual artist grant, but you should also be putting together your application for individual art on a grocery bag, which everybody's going to want. It's going to be great. What else we got going on? I can't remember. Things are getting... We've got Community Day on campus coming up in May, and that is an opportunity for sort of a kickoff for the summer. And if you're interested in being a vendor or having art there or whatever you'd like to do, give us a call. Rachel's organizing that at our office, rachel@jahc.org. As we've mentioned many times, you can go on to the jahc.org website or the ktoo.org website and see the calendar and get all the details for everything under the sun.
Matthew, thank you for coming by today.
Thank you.
Minutes before the hour, and you are tuned into a Juno Afternoon. Tomorrow on a Juno Afternoon, Andy Klein will be your host. We'll get a preview of this week's Friday Fireside Lecture at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center about the wreck of the Russian-American company vessel Neva with guest David Mann. Photographer Skip Shiel will be here with a preview of his presentation about Israel and Palestine. We'll talk with Alan Acciano about Monday's Pancake Breakfast, a fundraiser for the Meals on Wheels program, and poet Jesse Parent will be here to highlight his Saturday performance. That Writer's Almanac, Burnout Music and More, tomorrow on a Juno Afternoon. Weather forecast for tonight, increasing clouds with isolated rain showers later on, low temperatures around 34 degrees. Forecast for Friday, scattered rain showers becoming rain later on in the afternoon, high temperatures around 44 degrees. Saturday looks like rain with high temperatures around 46 degrees. Sunday, mostly cloudy skies with chance of rain showers. Tonight at 7 o'clock on KTVO News, Sniper Intelligence Squared, tonight's topic, artificial intelligence. And tonight at 8 on Alternative Radio, the guest is Alan Moss presenting The Case for Socialism.
Thank you.